for the Miller to West Virginia, North Carolina, somewhere over there, and then come back right away. We prayed for safety for them. They made it back safe and sound, and so we praise God for that. Also, we had been praying for Philip Champley and a Peggy Thomas, and they have both recovered from COVID. We are also praying for a prayer request for Tina that she had asked us to post. It was a job-related prayer request. There wasn't details given, but a clear answer, a very clear answer has come back to her for that. Thank you, God, for answering that prayer so clearly. And then also Pastor Newman, he is now off the oxygen. The doctors were able to remove him from that. So he's on that road to recovery from his bout with COVID. If you've had it, those that have had it would tell us that after it's over with, there are weeks to come of rebuilding your stamina and your strength from the time that you had that. And then we also praise God for answered prayer with Elaine. Elaine was able to come home from the hospital. Her tests all came back clear. So whatever it was that put her in there, it's gone. Doctors can't find it. Answer to prayer. And so we praise God for that too. Now, we do want to ask you to pray. There's a lot of prayer requests, new ones in our prayer bulletin tonight. But let me just mention, Michael Cody has asked us to pray for some family members, that have just been introduced to the COVID virus. So please pray for them. And also Rita's brother, Fred, was just hospitalized, because of COVID, and he's also on oxygen as well. So, that's a little more serious than what most people deal with when it comes to that virus. Please pray for them. And then also let's not forget to pray for Connie Oller as she'll be going in for surgery this week. Keep her in your prayers. Well, let's go ahead and set those prayer bulletins to the side and go into our Bible study for tonight. I would like to start by reading a text from Psalm 85 and verse 6. It says this, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy, or so that, thy people may rejoice in thee? A week ago, something had happened in America that I think was sad. It was what took place at our Capitol building just a week ago as the Electoral College was casting their votes. They were being counted and all of that. I'm sure you saw that on the news. I had heard one news commentator say that breach of security, the Capitol building being overrun, being entered upon by people who weren't supposed to be there, that action has never taken place since the British did it many, 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 many years ago. I don't know if that was true or not, but it's not something that we're used to hearing about. It was sad. A group of protesters within a larger group of protesters decided to become violent against a federal building. Now, let me say this, that, as sad as that was, it was, in fact, just a continuation of the protests that we saw last year. Well, I know the issues were different. The ideological viewpoint of those protesting were different. The way it was handled by the media was definitely different. Last year, those were, according to the media, peaceful protesters that were burning down their cities and attacking federal buildings. Last week, those protesters were called mobs. The word insurrection is a word that's being used quite a bit right now. And we've got to ask ourselves, what is happening? 4 years ago, there were people working to get their guy in office. And 4 years ago, there were people that got their guy in the White House. Finally, it was like a ray of sunshine that opened up on our country. They got the right guy in the White House. And then, to make it even better, and their guy, and I don't mean any gender either way, their guy put more of their guys on the Supreme Court. Woohoo! Yes, it's Salvation Day. Our country's going to be fixed all of a sudden. So, why isn't it better? Because our country doesn't need the right person in office. Now think about it. Well, you might say, well, we didn't have the right person. No. Forget about that. Think about this. If you got the right person in office, that's only going to last for the term limit of that office. And then the next guy that comes in may not be the right guy. And then we're back to where we started. Our country needs to see the light of Jesus, not the right guy in office. Folks, our country needs revival. Not just an excited fervor and everyone that never used to go to church is now running to church and praising Jesus. No. People going to church doesn't mean a revival. Think about the word. Revival. A person can't be revived unless they are first saved. And then they can be revived. So, revival is for Christians. So let me say it again. Our country needs revival. As I say that, with the explanation I gave of the word revival, now you know I'm speaking to just us Christians. Politically, economically, spiritually, there is a platform taking shape for the coming Antichrist and one world government and one world religion. Our world is moving very quickly toward that. God told us that this would happen. We can't stop it. In fact, Jesus never told us to try to stop it. And we're in the midst of this, we are witnessing a weakening of convictions, a loss of spiritual fervor among Christians. This last year, 2020, I think it revealed something for us. Well, many things, really, if you take time to consider it. There's a phrase that sums it up nicely. If you are in the high risk group, you are excluded from this phrase. Okay, that's my qualifier for this. So please don't get upset with me if you're in this high risk group based on the events of last year. Last year, here's the phrase: separated the men from the boys. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Okay. And here's why I say last year separated the men from the boys. There are Christian men that go to work and wear a mask. They take precautions. They go to the store. They take precautions. They go to the gas station. They take precautions. They go to their friends' homes. Maybe, maybe not take precautions. They go to birthday parties. Probably don't take precautions. They take care of their other hobbies and interests throughout the week. Maybe, maybe not taking precautions. But then comes Sunday. They're at home, hiding under a rug because of a bug. Because of the chance they might get sick. Folks, can we just take a little reality check here? There are Christians that face a threat every week in other parts of the world, and they have faced this threat for years. Their threat, their danger is not that they might get sick. Their threat is death, imprisonment, if the authorities find them. So what do they do on Sunday? Or when the body of believers is meeting in their area? What do? They go. They take precautions, but they go. This last year has demonstrated that there is a weakening of convictions in this country among Christians. Christianity is becoming more and more lukewarm. You might say it this way. Our light bulb of Christianity is dimming. It doesn't shine so bright anymore. What about the end times? Someone will ask. I see that question a lot over the last several months. Is the world coming to an end? Yes. It always has been. But listen, as things get darker, as the world comes closer to coming to an end, we need to focus on the right thing here. Not the ever-building darkness. We need to focus on the light, specifically our own light. It is getting worse. It will continue to get worse and move towards those end time prophecies. But just as it moves that direction, the hearts of men are all ripe for the gospel. The Bible teaches that. The darker it gets, the more we should live for Christ. Because our country needs to be revived. But we, as Christians, I'll say, we seem to be in a state of moral decline without a willingness to sacrifice for the values of truth and righteousness. In the Old Testament, when Nehemiah had heard about the destruction of Jerusalem and the state of the people living in Jerusalem, he made a decision to give his life for the cause of revival. The need for revival in his country became a sacred motive for doing what he did. And that's why we're looking at it tonight. We need this. Nehemiah, let's look at what he did. First of all, he was motivated to pray. Not just pray, but pray. Okay? Nehemiah, the Bible tells us, says he wept and he mourned before God. Now, consider this. Just to kind of help build up the foundation of why we need revival in this country. The first thing that Nehemiah did, prayed. Okay? The first thing that he did is traditionally the least attended service at a Baptist church. Prayer. R.A. Torrey, he said this, quote, "We are too busy to pray. And so, We are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but accomplish little. Many services, but few results. End quote. James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, there is no denying America's Christian heritage. It's there. It's in black and white. The very words that have been penned by our founding fathers and men all throughout the history of our country that have been in positions of influence. Revisionists try to erase it, but it's clear. I especially like Ronald Reagan's prayer on February 6, 1986. He said this, to preserve our blessed land, we must look to God. It is time to realize that we need God more than He needs us. We also have His promise that we could take to heart with regard to our country. That if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. End quote. Folks, I believe it's possible to return our nation to her heritage. We can complain and proclaim loudly and fervently about the godless trends in our country. But when was the last time we loudly and fervently cried out to God for our country? Number two, the first thing that Nehemiah did after he talked with the Lord, motivated to live with purity, the first thing he did was acknowledge and confess his sin and the sins of his nation. His sin too. As we seek to follow 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, and the verse goes on, we need to put ourselves in there. Nehemiah acknowledged and confessed the sins of his nation, but his own sin too. We need to acknowledge and confess our sin. It starts with us. Great promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that God will heal our land. But it starts with us confessing our sin. No longer justifying it, rationalizing, excusing it, ignoring it, but acknowledging it for what God says it is. It's sin. It is ugly. If we commit sin, which we do, that means we do ugly things. That means we, our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. We are ugly. We need to acknowledge that and confess our sin. If you ever wonder some morning what you should read in the morning when it comes to your Bible, when it comes to your time in the Bible, and if you ever wonder, man, what should I read this morning? Let me give you a suggestion. Spend some time with Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 30 through 32. Let me read those for us now. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I'm suggesting you spend some time with that. Now, I just read it. It took all of maybe 20 seconds. Don't spend 20 seconds tomorrow reading that. Spend some time with it. Spend some time looking at each word, each verse. Verse 31, for example, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We're supposed to put those things away from us. What do those words mean? Dig into it. Find out what exactly God is saying that we need to put away from us. And then he doesn't just say put it away. He says put it away with all malice. What does that mean? Spend some time with it. Let it sink into your head and realize I need to put these things away. Dr. Chappell said it this way. He said, often we don't experience revival because we are in love with our sin more than we are in love with Christ. You see, well, let me show you what I mean by that. We think, some think, it's okay to not be in church for our reasons. We think it's okay to not be in church on Sunday night for our reasons. We think it's okay to be involved. It's okay to not be involved in our church's prayer ministry for whatever our reasons are. We think it's okay to miss church for some sporting event. We think it's okay to not read our Bible, to not pray, to not study, to not meditate, to not worship God through our giving. We think it's okay to not serve through a local church. Okay, now, Proverbs 21:2, it says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way of man, everything a man does is right in his own eyes. In other words, everything a man does, he thinks is okay. All those things that I said people do and they think is okay, God says, he doesn't care what you think. He's pondering the heart. Where's the heart in all of this? Some of you may be familiar with governors, not political governors, but mechanical governors, inhibitors, fuel inhibitors on an engine. Okay, a governor is placed on an engine which prevents it from fully accelerating. It inhibits or prevents the maximum amount of fuel from going into that engine. Now, many times you'll find governors on go-karts that children are riding. That's probably a wise thing to do, okay, so that doesn't go too fast. A governor is installed to keep it at a slower speed. On some larger vehicles, they have governors to keep the driver of that vehicle from going at an unsafe speed on the highway. Well, I wonder, let's kind of bridge that over into the spiritual life. I wonder how many of us are living our Christian lives with limiters, governors, the limiters. The governors are the many compromises that we have made. The excuses we give for not doing those things we know we should be doing. And the excuses to or for doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. They may not even be in action, these governors, these limiters. They could just be an attitude that we have that limits, like the attitude that would be running through those actions in Ephesians 4:31. That verse, the one I told you, look at the words and figure out what they mean. There's an attitude running through those, okay? The limiters are restricting the flow of God's grace and God's power in our lives, which another way of saying that is our light bulb is dimming. We're not reaching our full potential because of these limiters in our life. Consider the attitude now of Ephesians 4:32. That's the opposite side of that coin in those verses. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So what's the attitude there? Love. Love running through each of those things. It's love that makes us tenderhearted. It is love that allows us to forgive one another just the way God Christ forgave us. John 15:13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's the love that Christ showed us. We are to forgive even as Christ forgave us. We are to love as Christ loved us. And he showed his love. He showed us his light when he showed us his love. Didn't that light shine so brightly in this world? Another passage, Matthew 5 and verses 14 through 16. It says this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Folks, our country is getting darker. Now more than ever. Now more quickly than ever before. And it's getting darker for this reason, okay? Or now more than ever for this reason, we need to pray with fervency. Live with purity, folks. No more excuses for not being in God's house. Unless we're unable to. No more excuses for not worshiping God through our giving. No more excuses for not serving in and through a local church. No more excuses. No more rationalizations. Let your light shine is what we're told to do. Our country needs revival. We need revival. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, thank you for this challenge, these challenging thoughts from your word tonight. And even as we continue it again next week, God, I pray you would take these nuggets that we've considered tonight and not forget about them by the time we wake up this morning. God, I pray that your Spirit would bring them to mind tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, in the evening, as we go throughout the rest of the week. God, Saturday evening, as people are going to bed, I pray that your Spirit would be pulling these truths around through their decision-making center of their brain as they decide whether or not they're going to come to church the next morning. God, please help us to let our light shine. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I trust you'll have a great week, a safe week. And I hope to see you on Sunday.